an attempt to defend their own deep insecurity. Such people are entirely in the grip of their intellect, which questions everything endlessly, and in particular delights in finding obscure details and facts that disprove and disempower others. The intellect in these people is usually highly developed, and in some cases they gain great recognition through it. However, such people are also utterly unable to switch off their minds. They focus on other people in order not to look into themselves. The source of this complex is a sense of rage, which the mind keeps bottled up until something or someone triggers its release, a fairly frequent occurrence. The 62nd gift, precision, the greatest step. The 62nd gift, the gift of precision, is far beyond the realm of the intellect, which, as we have seen, is based on mere knowledge. As you start to awaken through the higher frequencies of this gene key, you either begin to question the world around you, the repressive nature, or you stop questioning everything, the reactive nature. Awakening is magical in its ability to bring about a natural balance within your being. In other words, if you are caught in the obsessive behavior patterns of the repressed 62nd shadow, your mental abilities suddenly begin to come alive again, as though someone had cleaned the windows of your perception. You begin to question your own obsessive behavior, which ultimately brings about a complete transformation in your attitude, and usually in your lifestyle as well. In the case of the reactive 62nd shadow, your awakening will take you through a natural humbling process in which you realize that you are causing your own misery by focusing in minute and irrelevant detail on anything and everything but your own pain. When you begin to look into your own nature and take full responsibility for your behavior, you will go through a wonderful softening process as your natural feminine side comes once again to the fore. In both cases, we are seeing the gift of precision being reborn. Precision happens when natural intelligence strikes a balance between the heart and the mind, but with one caveat, that the heart, the feminine principle, is given control over life. The masculine principle, the intellect, then moves into service of the feminine principle, which is about intuition, listening and receiving, rather than thinking, expressing, and transmitting. As the gift of precision grows stronger, it may seem as though the world gradually begins to come alive again. Intelligence recognizes intelligence, and with the mind out of the way, the invisible essence that connects all beings is once again felt. For example, when you look at a tree through the 62nd shadow, you register only the facts that you have learned about the tree. You register its name, type, and any other words connected to it, branches, twigs, leaves, and so on. But you never see the actual tree. The tree is intelligent, and to really know the tree, you have to use your own intelligence. This means that you don't simply look through your eyes and mind. You take the tree into your being. You feel its aliveness, its mysterious aura. You actually breathe it into yourself. Precision is what happens when intelligence is born. It's not simply about being precise and exact at an intellectual level. It's a completely new way of seeing life. Precision is inspirational and original. The 61st gift is inspiration. And such inspiration does not depend on your vocabulary. When the gift of precision describes something, it arranges facts in ways that are inspirational and exciting, rather than dull and dry. As this gift arises in a person, they begin to communicate with such economy and exactness that almost everything they say is beautiful, poignant, and seamless. Such people soon develop keen gifts as communicators, speakers, writers, artists, actors, or scientists. This gift is designed to find the limelight. When the heart leads the way and uses logic to describe what it sees and feels, others cannot help but listen. The 62nd gene key is genetically coupled with the 31st gene key, forming the codon known as the Ring of No Return. This mystical name describes the evolutionary process that takes place when higher consciousness reaches the throat center in human beings. The throat center is where the greatest human initiation occurs. Once the higher involutionary currents begin to use your voice to transmit their truths, you begin a process of detaching from your own identity. The 62nd gene key allows access to the universal language of light behind all forms. When the pitch of your frequency allows it, the words you speak and their emanations change and begin to serve a higher purpose. This purpose is twofold. Firstly, it transforms you because it allows you to really vibrate your heart and transmit your love through language. And secondly, it brings more light into the world and spreads the transmission of your awakening to others. There is deep magic woven into language. It is why the origin of the word spell correlates with the idea of casting spells that have power over others. Every word has an inner spirit, a code of light that lends it an independent force in the cosmos. The moment a word or group of words is given voice, vibrations radiate out into the universe. There is no return. At the level of the 62nd gift, your use of words becomes much more precise because you recognize this great truth. The 31st gene key describes this gradual process of becoming a clearer channel for truth itself. In essence, light is breaking through you, through your words. As your language becomes purer, you expose your heart to others and to the world. You are taking the greatest step, the leap from worship to embodiment. It is here that you will have to face the fear of humiliation as you give your voice up to your heart. Words spoken from love are deeply healing. At the same time, they can stir up all manner of projections from the shadow frequency. This is why there is no return once you begin to speak your truth. You have broken away from the lower realms forevermore. The 62nd gift represents the true power behind the gene keys themselves. At first, it gives you a private inner language that allows you to initiate a deep transformation of your shadow consciousness. At a certain stage in your journey, however, you will feel the call of this language within you and its urge to escape into the world through your voice. It may well frighten you to speak to others using the higher frequencies and tones, but this is the beginning of your higher initiation. Once begun, it will gather momentum inside you until you feel yourself literally taken over by your higher self. You will no longer use words that protect others from themselves, but will speak the truth as you feel it arising from deep within you, clearly and without projection. The fact is that the more rarefied your frequency, the fewer words are available to you, so your language takes on a beautiful simplicity. The 64 words that describe the Siddhis will become embedded inside you as the core language of creation. Such words, when felt deeply and spoken from the heart, can carry great Shakti or transformational power. The 62nd Siddhi, impeccability, cosmometry, the language of perfection. The Siddhic state of the 62nd gene key is impossible to understand intellectually. As the 62nd Siddhi dawns, all sense of continuity in your normal life is broken. In the true Siddhic state, all trace of your prior genetic condition is erased. Enlightenment is not only a spiritual and mystical event, but also a chemical one, in that the very biochemistry of your body undergoes profound alterations. When you disappear into the Siddhic state, and that is precisely how it happens, what is left behind is simply pure consciousness operating through a specific genetic vehicle. This is generally referred to as the death of the ego. Once consciousness ceases to identify itself as existing, the behavior of the human vehicle is beyond the grasp of the intellect. Such behavior is said to be impeccable. The word impeccable is often misunderstood when used in reference to true masters. The most common mistake we make is to believe that one who manifests the Siddhic state must now behave in some kind of holy way. There is a widespread assumption that so-called divine states of consciousness come with a sanctified code of conduct. If you truly understand the nature of the 62nd Siddhi of impeccability, then you will see how laughable this notion is. To be impeccable means to be exempt from doing sin, which sounds as though it entails a certain level of purity and virtue. However, something profound needs to be understood here. One who has disappeared into the Siddhic state has truly disappeared. There truly is no one at home. Pure consciousness is at play within this being, so whatever they say or do is beyond reproach. If a man were to commit murder in a Siddhic state, actually an impossibility, he would be beyond reproach. Of course, society would punish him, and humanity would judge his action as evil or wrong, but this does not detract from the fact that he is beyond reproach, because there is no he. He would only be punishing an empty body. This is the meaning of impeccability. As we have seen through the 62nd gift, communication at the more refined levels becomes very precise, especially through the medium of language. The 62nd Siddhi concerns the use of language at a level beyond our ken. Every single word has its frequency and vibration, and the order and syntax of your diction creates a certain aura. At the Siddhic level, words do not come via the mind anymore. They are not thoughts that become words. They emerge directly from the void, naked and pure. If you look at the sayings of the great masters, you may often find that they say contradictory things about the Siddhic state. For example, one may say that enlightenment can only be found through intense seeking, whilst another may say that nothing you do will ever bring about this state. There appear to be many discrepancies between the words spoken by sages. This is because each still filters his or her experience through their own background, language, and culture. However, when someone manifests the 62nd Siddhi, they create an exact linguistic science of enlightenment. It is often amusing to note how closely related are the shadow and the Siddhi. Thus, such people will use the intellect to defeat itself through pure logic. They will also use logic to demonstrate how futile language actually is, for it is language and thought that underpin the very illusion of the human state in the first place. The 62nd Siddhi may appear to be highly intellectual, and indeed it will appeal in particular to men, who are more mentally polarized than women. These are the sages, like Socrates, whose logical argumentation cannot be defeated because consciousness itself is using the left side of the brain with impeccable precision. In such cases, language itself can be used as a means to bring about surrender within another. These people are adepts at using language in extraordinary ways in order to highlight the grand illusion in which the human mind operates. But even more than this, the 62nd Siddhi brings the understanding that every cell within the universe is a divine word. This profound truth allows such a being to become a master of divine language. Because the divine alphabet is so simple, a true master can respond to anything and anyone, anywhere, with exact precision. The science underlying all creation is sacred geometry. The eternal truths contained in sacred geometry unite all human sciences, arts, and approaches to understanding through either the left or right brain. There is a cosmometry behind life that choreographs all actions. The closer you come to full awakening, the more harmoniously your life flows with this cosmometry. When you finally merge into the ocean of consciousness, you achieve complete oneness with the divine cosmometry. Everything you think, say, or do is no longer done by you, but by the whole. Therefore, it is done impeccably. The real difference between the city and the shadow is the complete absence of fear, which is the absence of self-identification. Divine cosmometry is the language of perfection. It is the manifestation of impeccability in which your every movement and breath becomes an emanation of the pure light. Your whole being is simply made up of living, intelligent lines of force that move and flow without resistance. There is no longer anything out of place within your being. There is no longer any need, agenda, or discomfort. All is exactly as it should be, in you and in everyone else. The embodiment of this truth leads to ultimate peace. You have crossed the great divide in the throat and can never again return to the illusion of separation. You have entered into the language of light itself to see the one word in all words, the fathomless, the ineffable, the wordless, the impeccable beauty of being. 63rd Gene Key. Reaching the Source. Programming Partner, 64th Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Divinity. 22, 36, 37, 63. Physiology, pineal gland. Amino acid, proline. The 63rd Shadow, Doubt. The Paradoxical Power of Doubt. In arriving at the 63rd gene key, you have in effect come to the end of the 64 gene keys. In the mystical story of evolution, the 63rd and 64th gene keys mark the epilogue, the cosmic text that gives us a certain sense of completion. This completion, however, is not about closure. The I Ching and the Gene Keys form an infinite Möbius strip that endlessly cycles around in ever more expansive arcs. The original I Ching, as traditionally transcribed, is a sequence beginning at the number 1 and ending with 64. However, there are as many sequences as there are numerological combinations. Your own evolutionary sequence is completely unique to you, and it is highly unlikely that it will ever be repeated in anyone else. This is the paradoxical wonder of the gene keys. They are a digital encyclopedia of consciousness that can only be accessed and activated in a totally analog and random manner. The traditional sequence is held together by two sets of polarities, the first and second gene keys at the beginning, and the 63rd and 64th gene keys at the end. These four gene keys have great importance both genetically and mathematically. The mathematical configurations latent within the I Ching have been discussed by many great logical minds. The celebrated 17th century philosopher and mathematician Gottfried von Leibniz found confirmation in the I Ching for his invention of binary mathematics, the foundation of virtually all modern computer architecture. That the essential code for the 64 gene keys lies at the root of both our DNA and all computer programming is an indication of how profound and real these 64 codes of consciousness really are. The polarity formed by the 63rd and 64th gene keys contains paradoxes that can be as wonderful as they are frustrating for the human mind. The relationship between the 63rd and 64th gifts is the relationship between logic and imagination, or put another way, between your left brain and your right brain. As we shall see, they are so interconnected that they cannot easily be separated. Einstein made the famous statement, "Imagination is more important than knowledge." The fact is that the laws of logic depend upon a completely illogical premise, the notion of infinity. Infinity is a logical impossibility, and yet the human brain is designed in such a way that it can conceptualize this paradox. At the human shadow frequency, these two great genetic archetypes, the 63rd shadow and the 64th shadow, give birth to two conditions known as doubt and confusion, respectively. Doubt is born when you lose touch with the wonder of imagination, and confusion comes about when you rely too heavily on logic. If you turn these concepts around, you could just as easily say that doubt is the foundation of logic, whereas confusion is the breeding ground for imagination. The 63rd shadow of doubt represents a huge question mark literally wired into the human brain. Your logical left brain is designed to see things in terms of repeating patterns, and this ability has been a key ingredient in human evolution. As the cognitive functioning in our brains developed, early human beings began to teach themselves more and more effective skills to ensure their survival. Today, we have become so efficient in the use of our tools that we can even read the logical patterns wired into our very DNA. Doubt can therefore be a very positive force in driving evolution forward. However, the problem with doubt is that it does not go away. Doubt sits there deep within the neurocircuitry of every human brain, where it causes a huge unconscious pressure. When seen purely for what it is, doubt is simply the word we humans give to this constant mental pressure. Although this pressure behaves differently from one human to another, the one consistency is that it drives each of us to try to bring an end to the pressure. We humans cannot easily accept this never-ending feeling of being unsettled somewhere deep inside. For most of us, the need for mental certainty results in our taking on a firm set of beliefs or values that provide a barrier against the doubt inside our minds. Doubt is the beginning and ending of the human journey. It leads to the gift of inquiry, which in turn leads to the discovery of the city of truth, the final answer to all doubt. However, the journey through the levels of this 63rd gift does not lead you in the direction you might expect. The final resolution of logic lies outside the domain of logic. In this sense, truth comes as an illumination from within, the 64th city, rather than an answer from without. Our conundrum is simply a matter of evolutionary circuitry. Our brains have evolved to try to find release from the inner pressure. But in a sense, we have been conned by nature because there is no answer to our doubt. At the same time, our attempts to end our mental anxiety have forced the brain to evolve even further. This is how our anxiety serves evolution. The other important aspect about doubt is that although it is truly impersonal, we humans make it personal. If doubt serves genuine inquiry, then it becomes creative. But if it becomes personal or is internalized, it becomes destructive. If you do not use your mind in a creative way, the pressure either becomes a projection onto someone or something outside, or it collapses inward and becomes self-doubt. It is self-doubt that so undermines the individual from trusting in his or her own inherent creativity. Doubt belongs to the collective. Individuals need to understand that self-doubt is a low-frequency conditioning field that pressures all human beings to evolve to a higher life of service to the totality. When you are in the throes of self-doubt, you must weather the storm. The very best thing to do with self-doubt is share it with others. In doing so, you can embrace it and allow it to move on through. The worst thing you can do during a period of self-doubt is to take forced or premature action. If the individual succumbs to the pressure of doubt, the other direction he or she can take at the shadow frequency is to repress it through dogma and opinion. Since the 63rd shadow is the root of scientific thinking, it can be used to construct a false logical reality that gives the mind answers to the doubt. When the logical mind is prevented from doubting, it also stops evolving. Without doubt, the logical mind is inherently unhealthy because it short-circuits its own nature, which is to keep asking questions. As was said earlier, when logic moves to the extreme periphery of what can be known, it meets paradox. We can see this in the spheres of mathematics, philosophy, or quantum physics. The human logical mind is simply not designed to be certain of anything other than paradox. Anything less than paradox takes place within the shadow frequency and must therefore be logically false. The beauty of logic is that it is itself a great paradox. It seeks an end to doubt, but can never be satisfied in any single answer. The only satisfactory answer is one that defies logic. At the shadow frequency, all the human mind wants is certainty, and if it cannot find it, it will manufacture it. Out of this very human fear of uncertainty, all dogmas and rigid systems are born. Anyone or anything that purports to bring an end to your uncertainty through external means is selling falsity. Such people or systems are actually a potential danger to you. Doubt is not the enemy. Your fear of uncertainty needs to be recognized and embraced, because the deeper you can embrace uncertainty, the closer you come to the transcendent. Repressive nature. Self-doubt. When doubt is repressed, it plagues us as self-doubt. Self-doubt is based upon comparison and does us no harm as long as we simply observe it as a mental conditioning pattern. Self-doubt only becomes destructive when we identify with it and believe its propaganda. If left to its own devices, self-doubt must eventually destroy itself. If we trust in our doubt completely, then we must even doubt our own self-doubt. This is the paradoxical power of doubt, witnessed as an evolutionary force. However, for most people, self-doubt is never allowed to complete its own process. We give in to our fear and fix it at a certain frequency. When this happens, self-doubt eats away at us as anxiety. This anxiety constantly troubles us and has sweeping effects on our health and general well-being. It even pursues us into our dream life and will not allow us to sleep properly. Unless our awareness disidentifies with these mental patterns, we enter a terrible world in which nothing we do or say is ever good enough. Reactive nature. Suspicion. When the 63rd shadow is expressed in its reactive mode, it is externally projected into the world and becomes suspicion. This kind of doubt is also ultimately rooted in self-doubt, but is transformed into anger and taken out on others. The most common form of suspicion falls upon those closest to us. Under this 63rd shadow, we project our doubts onto our partners, spouses, bosses, and even our own children. Whenever we make our doubts personal, we embark on a wave of destruction that endlessly feeds back into itself. Other people's responses to our suspicions can be vehement or defensive, which further fuels our doubts about them. In this way, logic appears to prove that our suspicions about others are true. This is a classic biofeedback loop common to many relationships. It can be so easily avoided if individuals either own their own self-doubt or project it back out into society in a creative, exploratory way. The 63rd gift, inquiry. The ladder of self-inquiry. When the energy of doubt is harnessed cleanly, it becomes the gift of inquiry. Inquiry is about remaining open without finding a definitive answer to life. All pure inquiry is of great service to humanity. It inevitably unlocks many of nature's secrets by examining life in minute detail. The real purpose of doubt is to serve the higher good in an impersonal way. If someone has a deep genetic tendency to doubt or ask questions, they can greatly improve the quality of their life and relationships by channeling that doubt away from their personal life and pressing it into service. The 63rd gift is about progression through levels and stages. This is the way in which logical understanding works. The continual pressure of doubt fuels the spirit of inquiry, which leads to deeper and deeper levels of understanding. However, the more deeply you inquire into anything, the more complex it becomes. You have to take it apart, piece by piece, whether it is a scientific theory or an internal combustion engine. What is of prime importance is what you learn through the process. As you slowly ascend the ladder of frequencies, the nature of your inquiry changes. You may begin by inquiring into some aspect of the world around you. This may be something you really want to understand, or it may be something about the world that you want to improve or challenge. There is one golden rule with the 63rd gift of inquiry. If you inquire deeply enough into anything, you will arrive at the revelation that you, the observer, are intricately bound with that which you observe. This discovery actually heralds the beginning of the end of the logical approach, since it signifies the end of your ability to assess life objectively. At higher levels of frequency, you begin to enter the holistic domain of synthesis, in which all phenomena are increasingly seen to affect each other. This new quantum world thus forces your inquiry into a far more subjective territory, that of your inner self. At a certain stage, the gift of inquiry must always lead you back into yourself. The 63rd gene key is one of four gene keys, the 36, 37, 22, and 63, that make up a genetic grouping in your DNA known as the Ring of Divinity. Because of its connection to the all-important 22nd gene key, this codon ring has much to do with the transformation of human awareness through suffering. The 63rd gene key plays a central role in this theme because it is your divine doubt that drives you to follow a spiritual path in the first place. The deep discomfort of not remembering your true nature becomes more and more evident the more profoundly you inquire into your own nature. As you discover the doubt inside you, you become aware of it in all other human beings as well. This brings you to a great truth. All humans are made equal in this suffering, the 37th gift of equality. Doubt makes us human, the 36th gift of humanity, and leads us to a certain graciousness, the 22nd gift, in respect of how we treat others. When you begin earnestly and honestly to question your own nature and purpose, you enter one of the great spiritual paths of all time, known in the East as the path of yoga. Yoga is essentially a progressive path of refining your physical and spiritual essence to such a height that you arrive at liberation or spiritual realization. It is the system of internalizing your life force so that it reaches higher and higher frequencies. Many different systems of yoga have been developed and adapted by cultures around the world. Some emphasize the physical body, some are meditation or prayer-based, and some are rooted in service. What is common to all systems of yoga is the progressive sequential process whereby you raise the frequency of your vibration from a low state to a higher state. It is the gift of inquiry that urges you to understand all the states along the way. Even at these higher states of awareness, the primary doubt that has always been with you stubbornly remains, the doubt about your very own existence. At our core, we want to know who and what we really are. For most people at lower frequencies, this question simply exists only in seed form. The higher your stage of awareness, however, the more possessed you become by this question mark inside you. Your inquiry thus leads you through progressive levels of awareness and realization, and you may experience strange internal phenomena along the way. All this time, however, you are still operating within the sphere of the 63rd gift, which gives the impression that you are moving somewhere or evolving from something towards something. Even at these high levels, your inquiry still has its roots subtly in the logical framework of your thinking. But, and it's the greatest but in all creation, all logic must eventually, by its very own nature, cancel itself out. All yoga leads in a single direction, to its own nemesis, to Tantra, the way of surrender. These two genetic programming partners, the 63rd and 64th gene keys, represent the paths of yoga and Tantra, respectively. Whereas Tantra is a path based on acceptance of what is, yoga is the path of doubt because it harnesses the great human spirit of inquiry. In the yogic path, technique is central. It assumes from the beginning that there is a basic split in human beings, and the sole task of yoga is to unify this split. This is what the word yoga means, to unify or yoke. All the great systems that allow human beings to progressively reach towards higher states have been born out of yoga. Because the human mind is most comfortable with the concept of logical progression through time, these kinds of paths have always appealed to most serious seekers and inquirers after truth. The mysterious and hugely paradoxical 63rd Siddhi. The 63rd Siddhi. Truth. Truth is every step of the way. The gift of inquiry, symbolized by the path of yoga, has a deep shock in store for those who are drawn to it. In the original Chinese I Ching, the two hexagrams corresponding to the 63rd and 64th gene keys have very revealing names. The 63rd is called After Completion, and the 64th is called Before Completion. You might think that these names were the wrong way around, since the 63rd obviously comes before the 64th in the original sequence. However, all you will find here at the end of the I Ching is paradox, poetry, and puzzlement. We are entering the territory of truth with a capital T. No matter how elevated a person's awareness becomes or how advanced their yogic discipline is, until they reach this Siddhic realm, they will never realize the ultimate paradox that is truth. The only way to arrive at such a state is to reach a position of inner surrender. After all your efforts and exertions to find truth, you must eventually become one with your own doubt. This is the shock of the 63rd Siddhi, that doubt is truth. This is a deep letdown for your questing spirit. It is the ultimate state of failure and dejection. If logic is allowed free rein, it will always cancel out logic and conquer itself. In this sense, all yoga can only ever lead to tantra. This does not in any way negate the value of the spirit of inquiry that propels the seeker of truth. All male paths must eventually lead to the ocean of the feminine. The more logic is followed, the more mysterious and poetic it seems to become, until it reaches the impasse that logic cannot move beyond. Logic and its human counterpart, doubt, are designed to self-destruct, taking you, the observer, with them. When doubt is trusted at such a profound level, the doubter disappears into the doubt, leaving truth. However, there is no sequential process to this. Truth is there all along, within the doubt. It is simply waiting to be realized, like a pearl within an oyster. It needn't be prized out, but simply recognized. If you follow a sequential and linear path that ends in this recognition or enlightenment, the path itself has no bearing on the enlightenment, even though it appears to. Truth is realized in many different ways. The other side of this siddhi is the 64th siddhi of illumination, which arrives at the same conclusion in a totally different way, through the poetics of randomness. If you enjoy the logical path of progression, then that is your way. In many respects, it feels a safer route for human beings, since it gives you the feeling that you can prepare for truth. Few are those who are drawn to the left-hand path of the right brain, where there are no maps or charts to follow other than the confusion of life itself. The yogic path to truth is a beautifully clipped garden in comparison to the wild jungles of the 64th siddhi. The 63rd shadow of doubt is the path of eventual exhaustion. Like the Buddha, you must study, discipline yourself, climb and exert yourself to get to the top, only to realize that the answer was there all along, even before you began. The siddhi of truth is everywhere. There is nothing that is not truth. Whatever happens to you, whatever you feel in every moment, however delirious or disturbing, it is nothing but truth. Truth is all there is. At the shadow frequency, there is nothing but truth. At the gift frequency, there is nothing but truth. Truth is every step of the way. This book of the 64 Gene Keys is a yogic voyage into every conceivable archetype within human consciousness, drawing together past, present, and future. It is an exploration driven by doubt, by the need to question every facet of existence. Fixed in every nook and cranny of our DNA, it is the very emblem of the human urge to understand our true nature. And yet, from the point of view of truth, this book is a failure. It cannot be anything else. All attempts at understanding are doomed to fail. If you listen through each and every one of the 64 siddhis, you will see the scope of this failure. Every siddhi encapsulates the same paradox, tilted at a slightly different linguistic angle. There are no answers to doubt. There are only patterns and the illusion of the one looking at the patterns. At every stage and in every word, there is truth. This realization that everything is truth is well represented by the I Ching name after completion. The realization of truth involves a complete relaxation of your entire being. The quest is at an end because the quest has deleted the questioner. The doubter has entered into the question so fully that the question has swallowed his or her awareness. All paths to truth are therefore a complete fabrication. All techniques, only distractions, and all systems and concepts are ultimately worthless. These are unhappy words for the seeker, who still remains identified with his or her search, but even that is truth. There is no such thing as distorted truth or hidden truth. Truth is simply here, now, in every moment, at every stage of your life. It is eternal, undying, pure, incorruptible, and so beautifully simple. Truth really is the most precious and beautiful of the Siddhis in its human expression because of its vast, vast relaxedness. It is like resting under a tree on a warm, balmy evening after walking all day long. You gaze out at the sun setting into the sea, or the wind nestling into the leaves at your feet, or the stream purling softly over time-lapped rocks. With truth, the inner journey, the attempt to follow the doubt right back up to its source, high in the mountains and moors, comes to an end. Whenever you give yourself rest from worrying, you are treading around the fringes of remembering truth. Whenever you smile or breathe a deep sigh, there you are coming closer to truth. Whenever your face loses its hard edges and becomes softer, there truth is being remembered. Truth is your natural state, your simple state, without complexity or concern. It is a drifting space, a total sinking into your being. As you may see from the true ending of this book, written in your genes, it has no need of meaning and no concern for or possibility of an answer. In a single sentence, truth is the eternal moment of the universe. 64th Jean Key. The Aurora. Programming Partner, 63rd Jean Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of Alchemy. 6, 40, 47, 64. Physiology, Pineal Gland. Amino Acid, Glycine. The 64th Shadow, Confusion. The Chaos of the Elements. With the 64th Jean Key, we come to one of the greatest mysteries of existence, the mystery of inner light. When this light is obscured within a human being, it results in confusion, the 64th shadow. Confusion is the great human shadow state. It sweeps across our world like a great blanket, smothering, disempowering, and screening the mass consciousness from the true nature of reality. As the last of the 64 gene keys in their sequential form, the 64th gene key offers us some final warnings. This is, after all, the shadow of confusion. As we see repeatedly throughout the 64 gene keys, the shadows are not inherently bad in the sense of being evil. They are, in fact, the raw material of the higher fields of consciousness, like the nugget of coal that may hide a diamond of great beauty. As the confusion reveals its underlying nature and begins to coalesce into an organized etheric substance, it becomes in turn the wonder of human imagination. Finally, when the imagination transcends itself at the highest frequencies, the inner light at the heart of all creation explodes inside your being as spiritual illumination. This is the journey of every human being. Confusion in itself is a perfectly natural state. The ancient alchemists referred to this state as the massa confusa, the chaos of the elements, likening it to the primal swirling that preceded the birth of the universe. Confusion is a state with neither order nor structure. It is a state rippling with pure potentiality. Only when the human mind attempts to interpret it does it become bewildering. If you are able to look into this primal state of consciousness without engaging your mind in any way, you will see the true nature of being manifested as illumination, the 64th Siddhi. Each of the 64 shadows is born out of the human mind's tendency to identify with whatever it sees. This tendency creates a biofeedback loop between the two polarities of each shadow state. In this case, the loop is generated between the 64th shadow of confusion and its programming partner, the 63rd shadow of doubt. Here is how it works. At every moment, your thinking reflects the way in which the inner body is feeling. If your overall frequency is low, you generally feel a kind of background unease throughout your physical, emotional, and mental bodies. This unease is generated by the global frequency in which we all live. In other words, every human being feels the suffering of the whole world through the quantum field that connects us all. The more you listen into your body, the more you will attune to this collective sense of unease that is rooted in fear. Most people develop patterns from an early age to escape feeling this vast desert of world pain, and the mind is the first line of defense. As long as we are addicted to thinking, we can avoid fully feeling it. This suffering within each human being is rooted entirely in the past. It came down into you through your ancestral DNA and was transferred to you as a child through the coping strategies of your parents and peers. Your basic urge to flee from this pain will keep you from ever facing what you really are, and this fact, lying deep within your cells, gives rise to another of the great human shadows, self-doubt. We human beings doubt ourselves because we are not really ourselves in the first place. Instead, we inhabit the confusion, and the more our minds try to cope with this confusion, the more we feed our own self-doubt. It is a biofeedback loop. At the general low frequency of the planet, the mind cannot escape itself, but instead keeps feeding its own illusions. Those illusions then play out through the course of events that we call our lives. Thus, our true potential is never fully lived. Or as Thoreau so aptly put it, we lead lives of quiet desperation. If you take just about any human being and you scratch the surface of their awareness, you will very soon uncover layers and layers of repressed pain. The mind lives in a state of permanent confusion, trying to make it all go away. But confusion is a dead-end street. It is a falsity fabricated by the mind. The moment the mind stops thinking, the confusion ends, which shows you what a sham it is. As you will shortly see at the siddhic frequency, the state that we refer to as confusion is actually the holiest state of awareness there is. To return to our discussion of this gene key, it is all about light. All the 64 gene keys are really about light. This light, which is the inner nature of consciousness, is inherent within all forms. It lies obscured until evolution allows it to naturally reveal itself. This is the process of alchemy, the greatest science of all sciences. The 64th gene key is an integral aspect of the ring of alchemy, which includes three other great alchemical gene keys: the 6th gene key, which causes confusion in your relationships; the 47th gene key, which locks you into a futile battle with your own mind; and the 40th gene key, which leads to a profound feeling of isolation. When you are confused, you are alone. The light that moves through the 64th gene key wants more than anything to enthuse and fire your mind with inspiration rather than confuse you. But it depends on your attitude, which is the litmus test for your general level of frequency. Therefore, when you are feeling low, it is always best to transmute your thinking onto a higher plane. If you are unable to do this, at the very least, you need to wait out the phase and allow it to evolve of its own accord. If you are patient and unreactive, the light will shine through in the end. repressive nature, imitating. It takes an enormous amount of energy to repress our inherited human pain. To repress that amount of pain, you actually need a great deal of support from others, ironic as that may seem. This support comes in the form of the status quo, from the millions of others who also hide from the truth of how the world feels and bury themselves in activity and thinking. Half of the world represses their confusion through imitation. They do what their parents did, or they do what their friends and teachers do. Imitation is the arch enemy of imagination. It is a massive illusory safety net devised by the collective to keep from feeling the state of the world as it is. Repressive natures combat their fear through imitating everyone else. Some of them even manage to look original whilst they are doing it. Reactive nature. Confused. There are those whose nature simply cannot handle repressed feelings. Certain types of physiology are not designed to deal with the sustained voltage of pain held beneath the surface, at least not for any significant length of time. In such people, the core human pain held in their DNA is externally expressed through their outer lives. Such lives are always incredibly confused. These are the people who simply cannot stay in relationship without being abusive. Whilst the repressed nature is a victim of the status quo, the reactive nature is a victim of their anger towards the status quo. Their lives are lived in an unconscious attempt to take revenge on life itself. These people react against the status quo, often in an aggressive and unpredictable manner. Out of this basic dynamic between repressed and reactive, you can clearly see how both the abuser and the abused are born. The 64th gift, imagination, the art of life. The depth of agony felt and expressed by the human race is both born and resolved in the genetic coupling of the 64th gene key and its programming partner, the 63rd gene key. Despite the reality of the pain we are born into as we enter a human body, there is good news. The solution is so simple. The suffering we feel, though real within the context of our physiology, is an illusion when it comes to our minds, and our minds hold the key to its release. As we see at the shadow frequency, the mind automatically collapses into confusion when faced with the pain underlying life. If you were taken out of your everyday life and placed in solitary confinement for even the space of a single week, you would soon feel the profound pain that lies within your body. With nothing to do and nothing to distract your awareness, the pain quickly comes to the surface. Interestingly, this is one of the roles of meditation, to allow this pain to rise to the surface of your awareness so that it can be transmuted. All it takes is willingness to feel the pain, and the miracle begins. Once you realize that there is no point in trying to make the pain go away, you may finally begin to see the loop you have been caught in. It is your mind that continually takes you away from the pain. As your inner spirit decides to face who you really are, for the first time ever, the mind's tricks are witnessed. In that witnessing, the mind's long reign over you gradually begins to crumble. The more you watch your mind trying to understand and/or avoid the confusion, the more a shift inside you begins to occur. Thinking takes a great deal of energy. Something has to feed all those neurons. Thus, the moment you take away the mind's food, your belief that it can help you, all the energy that was going into feeding it is gradually liberated. In certain rare cases, this energy can be abruptly liberated, causing the phenomenon known as sudden enlightenment. All natural energy or life force has one inbuilt program, to grow and evolve. This is the nature of life. Thus, when you release the quantum energy that was latent inside you, it begins to rise. As it rises, the evolutionary force takes a hold of your mind and begins to paint with it. This is how true creativity is born and the human imagination is unleashed. Imagination is the expression of unimpeded life force coursing through your genetics.